Find some comfort at Willow's World. A variety of news, commentary and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow Mondays and Thursdays, 2 till 4pm Eastern Time, Studio A.
Good day, wherever you are in this world. I hope you're having a great day here listening to Revolution Radio. Everybody asks for this. Revolution Radio. Where the information never sleeps.
Turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet. Look, you stupid bastard, you've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look!
Just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace... stupidity.
I'll do you for that. Oh, what? Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Welcome one, welcome all. And it is that time for Roundtable Live here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. Be rolling on till 4 a.m. in the morning Eastern Time. New ideas, different hosts every night, different subjects every night. You never know what's going to happen right here at the Roundtable Live. King Arthur has nothing on us. We're going round and round.
Welcome to Wild at Heart Roundtable Show. This is Noreen Helpand, and I'm broadcasting to you live from Southern California, where it is 9 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, and on the Revolution Radio schedule for Studio A on the main website. This show is at 12 midnight Tuesday. But depending on what part of the world you reside in, of course, this show will be on at, you know, various times, let's just say. So, you know, you have that factor. And that's always interesting to me to think, okay, what time are people tuned in here? You know, it's like different, like depending, you know, on, basically on where you're at and, you know, so forth. Anyway, so this is a listener support station. So if you want to support us, please go up to the donate button at the top of the website, and you could donate by credit card, debit. You can, I think archives are still free, but I don't know. Maybe that's just for us hosts. I don't know. Oops. I don't know. You want to just play around and check it out. Somebody might know. But anyway. And that's $5.95 a month if they are charging listeners. Okay, so just want to let you know. I think that's what it is. Maybe it's changed. I don't know. Hi, John. It's 3 p.m. I think you're in Australia if it's Big John, but I don't know which John that is in chat room. And we do have a chat room, too, by the way, if you want to join that. And if you want to donate by money order or check, you can mail that to Terry Ackerman and make the check out or money order out to Revolution Radio. And her address is, she's a staff member. Her address is on the bottom of the webpage. So with that, I want to say that, wow, I'm looking at some kind of interesting things. What are they saying in chat? Okay, this is kind of interesting. Wow, it's like a lot of different topics. Quite a few different topics, actually. I like the diversity of topics on the show. I'm on the station, excuse me. I really do. I think it adds a lot. You want variety. You don't want to just be hung up on like one topic, but that's my opinion. That's just what I think. So, but yeah, it's kind of interesting with that. So anyways, there's some things I like to talk about, but before I do, I like to say hello to Nick. How are you doing tonight, Nick?
Hi.
Hi. You want to get a little close? You sound far from your mic, but you might be wearing a headset, and I don't know. You might want to just tune it up just a tad, just a little bit. Not too much.
That happens every time. It just, mm-hmm. it'll
come back. And you're fine now. You want to know, I'm not very technical, as you know, but I'm assuming it's an adjustment thing, right? Like when you get on the air.
It's an automatic thing, I guess, with background noise. Skype automatically turns it down. And then as I speak, it slowly increases.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So what I should do, I guess, is take it off automatic and just set it real high.
That would be interesting. You know, I have to tell you guys this. Yeah, there's a lot on my mind to discuss. Just to kind of get things rolling, I just really feel like, my God, where do I even begin? Donald Trump being in the, quote, hospital with COVID-19, and I heard he's going to be released and going back to the White House fairly soon. And I guess Melania, the first lady, I'm assuming, I don't know. I didn't check on her status. I guess she's okay because, you know, she's secondary to the story, right? He's primary. So, I don't know if she's out of the hospital. I don't even, God, I'm a really bad host. I'm like talking about them in the hospital for COVID, and I don't even know what her status is. Hi, Flippy. What's up? Okay, cool. Hey. I really should be a good host here and open up a tab and just kind of check. I don't want this tab, though. Please help. No, I don't want that tab. Okay, I'm going to open this tab up. And then that way I can, maybe I'll close this one and create a new one. And I'm going to look up Melania. Unless somebody in chat just wants to throw it in there. Because I don't know if she's, if she's still in the hospital. Is Melania in the hospital? Okay, let's see what it says. Well, okay. He is leaving. That's all I know, okay? But if he leaves, why don't we face it? She's probably either already left or is going to leave with him. That's my prognosis. So, I just Googled it, or I didn't use Google. I don't know what I used, but they didn't tell me much about her. They just said, well, she tested positive along with the husband. I mean, but I'm assuming that she, okay, this is just, I guess that she's probably okay and either already out of there or going to be out of there. But I think most of us predicted that he was going to be eventually just released. Okay. Because most of us know that COVID generally, quote, is not a highly fatalistic, dangerous condition. Unless, you're older, you're very sickly, have immune problems. Most people are, they survive it. And Donald Trump, okay, I laugh when people say, well, he's obese. No, he's not obese. He's just kind of a big dude. But he's not obese enough to be sickly enough to be like, oh my God, I'm such a big, fat, bloated orange man. I'm going to get COVID and die. No. Or I'm just eating too many, like hamburgers, and I got the suit on and I'm just going to explode, and get COVID. No, come on, people. I'm trying to be funny here. Okay. No, seriously. He, of all people, I would think he would be like the last person to die of COVID. Okay. And this thing about him being obese, I think you want to know what it is. Let's remember, everybody, a lot of people look heavier on camera. And I bet you he is one of them. That's my guess, okay? I don't know every little minutia detailed stat about his physical appearance, condition, or whatever. The only thing I know about him is in general, I have heard that he's not unhealthy. Can I understand, for those of us that understand a more naturalistic, holistic health approach, that could mean anything. I mean, look, Donald Trump, let's just make a general statement that he's probably not, I did not hear of him being diabetic. I didn't hear of him having a heart condition. I didn't hear of him having arthritis. You know, understand something about that. But that doesn't mean that he doesn't have, he's like, perfect condition. Most of us living in this toxic world are not. So he's no different than anyone. But for people to sit there and say, well, he's obese, no. Again, he probably looks a little bit heavier on camera, A, right? And B, I hear he's wearing a lot of, like, body armor underneath his suit or jacket. So think about it. Right? He's not a super skinny man, but he's a tall man. He's what, 6'4"? Okay. And so if you're that tall, you can carry extra pounds pretty well, depending. Okay. Generally. So, and then he's going to look a bit, you know, a little bit bigger on camera. And if he's wearing, bullet shield, bulletproof vests underneath, if he's wearing that stuff under, of course he's going to look heavier. Think about it. Right. You would have to be like a skinny, slender person to go on camera, wear a bunch of body stuff underneath your, suit and still look thin. No, this is a tall, kind of a biggish sort of dude. So no, he's not obese. He's just like a big, tall, normal sized person who wears a lot of body armor. And, you know, you're going to look a little heavier on camera. That's it. That's my explanation about his whatever people are calling him this. No, he's not like that. And therefore, again, saying that puts him at risk of COVID is absolutely stupid. Okay. I mean, look, there's probably even people with diabetes as if they're not even really at risk or fat or obese. I think the only people at risk for something like this, which is a form of the flu, would be older people, people with bad lungs, people with, really low immunity, just not very healthy people, maybe. That's about it. So, no, nobody's surprised that he's on his way out. I mean, and let's face it, some of these, quote, COVID positives may mean shit. Seriously, okay, just affecting him and Melania, too. Okay, both of them, they test positive. I'm hearing different stories that might mean that you have what they call, quote, herd immunity, or that coronavirus is inside of you anyway. So it's not even bad. I've mentioned this on my show before. It is not even bad if you guys, any of you listeners out there, if your work or your family or whatever pressures you to get that test, please keep in mind, even if you test positive, it's not the end of the world at all. You may even be one of the healthier people. That's right, because you got that immunity in you, okay? If that's what that is, I'm not saying I know that for a fact, but don't be scared. And look at the president. She's out of there. But you know, so he's ready to work or go back. There's so many things about him, right? He's ready to roll. He is just, look, this might have been all a game. This might have been part of the theatrics, right? The fact that me and my wife got COVID, we'll be in the hospital, but yeah, he's going to be out soon. I think this is a psychological ploy on people. I think this is part of the mind control. That's what I think, okay? It's part of the mind control. They want the population to think, like, it might be even part of the ritual part of this whole thing, right? What is that? Oh, they want people to think that, like, well, if President Trump gets it, well, you can too, right? Oh, my goodness. Oh, something bizarre here. I got to cover this thing up. Ah, forgive me. Okay, stop and think about it, right? I mean, I think this is something to get people used to. Oh, well, look, all these celebrities and sports figures got coronavirus. Well, hell, why not the president and the first lady? Why not? Get your mind acclimated. I'm telling you guys. See, this is probably part of it, plus the ritualistic part. Because this whole thing is a ritual, he has to be involved in the ritual. So maybe that's why they threw him in there. And maybe he knows it too. So he played with it, okay? I mean, for all we know, yeah, they have to make things look a certain way. So they stuck him in a wing of a hospital, that Walter Reed Hospital, whatever. So they probably stuck, I hear the presidential wing since FDR, since then. Has always been kind of nice and plushy, of course. Okay, it's for VIP people. And it's comfortable. So they probably stuck him in there, is what I heard. And you know what? I know some of you guys, you heard he was working while he was in there. So you know what I think? This is what I think. I think he was sitting in that wing of the hospital. You know what? Business as usual. It was almost like he was doing, maybe not all, but some of the same functions he would do in the White House. He was just doing them from that wing. In other words, if you think about anything about, well, what's a president's daily life? It's going to be different every day, right? I don't know. They've got all kinds of different things to do. So, but you got to think, whatever he could do from there, he probably was. He was probably not even really ill. Because remember, we kept hearing, well, he doesn't have the symptoms. That's my point. This is part of the ritual. They just threw him in the wing. He knew it. He had to play the part and just do his duties from there. He probably did his whatever, okay? Whatever he does, even for his own personal habits, whether it be like, you know, maybe he has one of those hand weights that he, you know, he's got Twitter, his Twitter cell on one hand and his hand weight on the other. Maybe he's sitting there doing that, so he's not even affected by COVID. He's just doing his daily stuff, and yet, you know, it's just under the quote umbrella term of, oh, he's in Walter Reed Hospital because of COVID. But he's really not even like that affected, eh? We kind of know that, right? And he's doing the same daily life stuff generally that he's probably doing outside of there. So this is all just a big theatrical game. Okay, yeah. Rockstar said he wasn't even sick. That's the whole friggin' damn stupid point. That's the whole point here, people. You're smart in there. I know. You got it. Rockstar said probably he was playing ping pong with the nurses. Exactly. He is himself in there. I'm telling you. The only difference is that he didn't have all his toys or duties fully thrown at him in there. You know, part of that because of the ritual and what he had to do. He's just, okay, I'm kind of kicking. Maybe, hey, you want to know something? Oh, my God. This is funny what I'm reading in here. Okay. Okay. You guys are funny. You guys are really, really, really funny. I like some of the comments in here. Oh, my goodness. Ah, okay. You guys stop making me laugh. But anyway, no. Wow, okay. This is funny. This is even funnier. Okay, anyway. I think that this was a vacation for him, you guys. That's what I think. Okay? Okay. All right, get what I'm saying about this? I think you guys get kind of what I'm saying, right? Yeah, you do. He was on vacation. Now, that's what this was. It's a ritual. It's part of the ritual. And it gave him a chance to just kick back. So, yeah, maybe he wasn't doing all the work that he normally would do because he's like, this is my vacation, right? Okay, whatever. So, anyway, there's that. Nick, you have a comment about that? Would you agree more or less that that was like a little mini hideaway vacation for him, I think?
Yeah, obviously we have to look at any claimed case of COVID with suspicion.
Yeah.
If it didn't happen so fast, I would say that there was a legitimate reason why, you know, all these celebrities and political puppets are suddenly getting COVID, even though they live completely separate lifestyles. They don't even, you know, they're not amongst the public. They don't go to shopping centers and places like that. They live in ivory towers. And if it had taken a little bit longer for this thing to develop, then I could see why. Because, you know, some doctors are saying they're expecting an actual outbreak pretty soon, probably, you know, in the middle of winter or something.
That was already predicted that they were going to do this, you know, at that time.
Well, these doctors are predicting a real outbreak, though.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Because of all of the measures that people are taking. They're injuring their lungs with masks.
Oh, I see. Their immunity's so bad. Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
They're rubbing their hands with this chemical slime, killing biology in favor of chemicals. And so that's going to cause problems with the immune system. Plus, you know, our immune systems program themselves every day. We're supposed to be out in the environment,
yeah,
intermingling.
Yep.
They, you know, all 99.999% of germs, what we call germs, bacteria, surface bacteria, are totally benign. And what they do is they occupy space so that pathogens can't take hold. As soon as you start sterilizing everything, all of a sudden pathogens can spread, can really take hold and start to propagate. And then that's when you become prone to infection. Unless, you know, you have a strong immune system. And everybody is weakening their immune systems by doing all of these stupid, idiotic things the government is telling them to do. So that's what rich people seem to have done. That's what seems to have caused the problem with polio back in the 50s and 60s, when it was all the rich kids who, you know, were lived in bubbles, basically, and were kept separate from the rest of people and kept in sterile environments. They were the ones who got polio. I mean, the lessons were learned, but then quickly forgotten as soon as demons like this Fauci freak, who is right in bed with Donald Trump, right up the backside of, you know, the orange guy. And, you know, Trump, I actually listened to about 7 seconds of these so-called the debacles called debates. And I heard Donald Trump brag about how he was right in line with Fauci's recommendations. So, you know, and so, yeah, I totally agree. I think I'm very confident that Trump has decided, or his keepers have decided to fake it. And this is a very scary... This is a very scary development because Trump, you know, like it could even be considered, Trump actually did say, oh, we're not going to force vaccinate anyone. Holy cow.
This is a scary thing. This is a scary thing. You're right.
Yeah, to even suggest that.
Yeah, I know.
Frightening and, you know, aggravating. And so now is that going to change? Because, you know, and I would like to know for sure, like, what's he going to say? Did he say, oh, it's the worst thing in the world. I felt like I was going to die. Or now, is he going to say, oh, I was totally asymptomatic?
Yeah, you're right. That's the mystery. But I'm on board with you about what scared me. He even said this on a, I was watching, I think, Richie from Boston that, you know, and he did play an excerpt where Trump said, that he was going to use the military to do the vaccines. I'm like, what?
Yeah. He said he was going to use the military to distribute the vaccines.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean, distribute.
So hopefully in the language we can say that just because of the logistics, the military is established in throughout, you know, in strategic places throughout the states for distribution. But you're right. Who knows? You know, if he could have meant, or that could be an insinuation that, you know, we're going to use the military to, you know, to kind of push it.
Yeah, we'll
so,
see.
So I don't know. And that's the problem with putting so much stock into the great and only leader, the president. I mean, my goodness, the way people talk about the president this, president that, it's like life, their heart doesn't beat unless the president is checked with first.
But, you know, and it goes up from all the top, the presidents, down to prime ministers, down to governors and senators, the whole BS, right? I mean, it's just...
So, you know, what's supposed to be at the top of that is the people. But the people have certainly forgotten about that.
I know they have.
And again, you know, I get that I'm repeating myself, but it bears repeating, that as long as we think of them as our leaders... then that automatically, psychologically puts us under them. And they're more than happy to keep us thinking that that's where we belong, underneath their boot heels. So we're going to get what we ask for. Guaranteed.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I don't know. I don't know if I said it on air last week, but I am so fed up with... Well, I think we're all fed up with people driving their cars with masks. That's a given. But did I mention about how I'm fed up with, I may have mentioned it, fed up with seeing small children wearing masks? Not all, of course not. It's about 50-50. But I can't stand it when I see it. It just drives me insane.
You know what I saw on the way home today? It was a whole family walking their children home from school. Mm-hmm. School, where they are mandated to wear masks all day long. And here's the big family, you know, family of like six. Mm-hmm. Every single one of them masked walking down the street.
I've seen it here, too.
So there's the government. Oh, the government says we got to do this, little ones. So now get your masks on. You can't be outside without a mask.
But what gets me, as I was telling people, wait a minute. Hold on. There are people that don't put masks on their kids because they know the children are safe from this thing, okay? It's a bullshit thing anyway. But my point is that these people who think that they're doing their children a favor, this is insane. Do they even read? Do they even research? No. They're the kind of people, you're right. They're literally imbecilic. And they're just like, yeah, okay, they're smart enough to have known how to give birth to a child, feed a kid, diaper a kid, send it to school, show them how to read, whatever, okay? All this stuff. But they're not smart enough to see that the child doesn't actually have to wear a damn mask. Oh, right?
Well, I mean, Big Daddy government says that it's better if they do. So that's what they do. They don't think the government thinks for them. And that's what government means. It means govern your thoughts.
But I think that even the stupid so-called experts have said that children are, I mean, you know, let's face it. There's so many of these damn experts out there. But from what I'm hearing, you know, whatever. Not all of them agree that kids have to wear it. So why are these people putting them on their kids?
Well, for every expert that says children don't need masks, how many experts are you saying everybody should wear a mask?
Yeah, see, that you're right. That overrides. It's a mind control thing. Yeah, that overrides it. Yep. Yeah, so that's a lot the culture of cats right? Is masks called, yeah, they cause brain damage because of oxygen deprivation. You know, yesterday when I was in Walmart, okay, yeah, I make a confession, right, every time I do that. But anyway, you know, there's that noise, it's gone. When I'm, what do you call it? This is interesting because when I'm at these big stores, and I'm in aisles where there's not a lot of people, I literally take my mask off, okay? The only time I might have it on is if I have to pay for something or whatever, But, you know, that's just mostly these stupid big stores like Walmart and places like that. But and here's another thing. You get a nice comfy mask, and then you lose it. I had a nice comfortable mask that was breathable and nice, and I think I lost it, which I'm feeling is kind of a common problem with this whole mask thing. You get a nice one that you feel comfortable with if you have to wear it, and you lose it, okay? And I'm not really a person to lose things that easily. Maybe when I was younger, a kid, yeah, but no. Now, I'm pretty good at keeping track of what's important, and I did lose this one nice mask. So then I keep a couple in my glove compartment. So I did take one out to try out because I lost my other one, apparently. I'll look again in the car. If it's not in my car, that meant it did fall out in the parking lot and I lost it. But anyway, here's the weird thing. So I pick up, I take out of my glove compartment another mask. Okay, I have to wear it. I didn't like that one nearly as much, really, but I had to wear it in part of the time in Walmart. But I mean, I'm thinking to myself, how can people work in these things? Because I'm looking at all the workers, they got their masks on. Everywhere you go, in most, you know, places that have employees, you see people wearing masks a lot. And they're forced to. They have to. It's not like, oh, you know, I think I'm going to take my mask off for 10 minutes and breathe and put it back. No. They're wearing it all day or all night or whatever their shift is. You know, this is not just bloody Walmart either, okay? This is like a lot of places. So I'm thinking, even as a shopper, I didn't like wearing a mask all that time, much less working and having to wear a mask. I mean, Nick, can you imagine if the people that employ you, which, you know, you mentioned them before, you're on friendly terms with them. Can you even imagine if you're all those employers that you have, you know, your friends, employers, whatever, if they told you, well, you're working with me on the job today, Nick, and you got to wear it. Well, I can understand if they say you have to wear a mask because those people that employ us, you know, demanding that you do it. But I'm talking if they said it to you. I know you. You would just say, screw you, and walk off the job. I know. It would be crazy. I know. Because I can't even imagine you putting up with that. I can't even put up with that. No way.
The fact is, the people I work for also know what would happen if they demanded I wear a mask.
Yeah, they know. So they say, forget it. Good, good. I know. Exactly.
Not only that, but they really don't. I mean, yeah. They still want to be careful, and they're not necessarily listening to me when I tell them it's all nonsense.
Right.
It's all a psyop. But they do respect my opinion. It's just that, you know, the whole world has a different opinion, you know, to them. And they can't override the whole world on just me.
Right.
And so therein lies the problem, is we have so many people buying in. And so the rest of us are having it forced on us because so many people comply. And that's why anybody walking around with a mask, driving around with a mask, they are showing their support for the enemy, the people who have declared themselves our enemy.
Yeah.
And they're on that side, and they're showing just, you know, just how much of a chance do we have. Is I don't see very much. Not that there's none. As long as there's any hope, then there's reason to keep trying, keep working at it. You know?
Yeah. I want to say something really interesting. Okay, you guys, forgive me, this is not about him as a personality on YouTube. He's not the only person saying this, but I do follow a lot of different YouTubers on various topics, but I do watch some of the astrology ones. And now the Leo King, David Palmer, he really has evolved, because when I first started to watch him a year ago, I thought he's okay, but I wasn't overly impressed with his narrative or his dialogue. Not that I was against what he had to say, but I was like, okay, whatever, it's cool. I don't know. You know, I was like, okay with it, but now he's been getting really deep into this stuff, you know, that's going on in society as well as astrologically and putting it together. And he said something really interesting. And I'm kind of feeling it might happen. He goes, I'm basing this on my observation and astrology. And he says, it's possible that neither Trump or Biden are going to end up being our president. Now, as crazy as that sounds, I have to say something. I think it's possible. And the reason I say this is because, well, first of all, he mentioned something about the Electoral College or something, and December 21st, and that kind of overlaps something to do with something with these politicians. But I'm also remembering about the I have to hand it again to another YouTuber, Richie from Boston. He said in a video that a few months ago, I may have mentioned it before on my show, he said that when President Trump announced the United States is under the National Emergency Act or something, that automatically makes his position as president null and void, that he rescinded his position, according to what that guy said, okay? Because then he showed us a video excerpt where after he said that, when he made the statement about, oh, we're under a national emergency act, and then later he said, it's been nice being your president. I did hear him say that, okay? Swear to you. Anyway, I mean, Trump. So the point I'm making is, if David Palmer says, astrologically and from anecdotally observing things, I'm not seeing, maybe he goes, it's a possibility that neither Trump or Biden will be president. Now, he said that they might put somebody else in because of this whole situation with Electoral College or something to do with that. The only reason I think that could happen is because if President Trump is not officially a president, a sitting president right now, that means there's nobody sitting in that position, okay, in the current moment or whatever. So I'm thinking maybe it is possible they could put somebody in. What do you think of that, Nick? I don't know. And then David Palmer, okay, I don't know about this, because he was going by the astrology. That's a totally separate thing. He goes, believe it or not, according to the astrology, he was kind of laughing. He's like, Pete Buttigieg. He goes, that's how I see that they might stick in there. And I'm like, well, I don't know about that. But I'm looking at two factors. The fact that it's possible that technically we don't really have a sitting president right now and the office is vacant, A. And B, if they can, maneuver this thing with Electoral College and, you know, this whole thing, and then Biden and Trump don't necessarily have to be chosen. They could choose somebody else. Okay, so I don't know what you think, Nick, but Mechanic in chat says, Noreen, Donald J. Trump is your president. Make not that mistake. Okay, whatever. It's grammar. Let's go. Make
do can that I mistake. Say something, I'm please. Thinking.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Whether he is officially the president or not is irrelevant. The point is the people believe he is the president. Again, we psychologically put ourselves under them when we call him our president. No, Noreen, he is not your president because you are not a corporation. You are a human being. You're a woman. Therefore, you are President Trump's boss. He is not your boss.
Yeah, I understand the technical part of that, yeah.
Well, it's more than technical. It's psychological. And people need to start getting out of the habit of calling these slugs.
Yeah, but please, for the sake of this discussion, I understand where you're coming from. We've spoken about this before, but understand what I'm saying here. This is not about me. This is
being said. I'm not saying it's about you. I'm saying it's about how can we teach ourselves? How can we help ourselves to reestablish our position properly?
Okay, but I can't save millions with this comment that
nobody's saying now. Save millions. All I'm talking about is that we start one at a time. Like, we're here to communicate, right? We're here to communicate ways to fix this problem. And if we keep using their rhetoric, we're going to skip over the obvious remedies, is my point. Okay, so now that being said, let's move on to the next of, you know, whether or not, you know, it might not be Trump or, well, it's certainly not going to be Biden. I mean, I don't care what the polls claim to say, you know, the animated mannequin is just not going to make it in there. That's just, you know, the end of that. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if this is the last election. The election will go forth and, you know, all bets are off after November, after January, okay? Or if Trump even makes it to January before something weird happens, some kind of a coup d'etat or something like that. I wouldn't be surprised if something radical like that happens. But, you know, either way, another sham of an election. I mean, a real election really hasn't taken place in our lifetime. They've all been fixed. It's just becoming more and more obvious as they put more of this treachery right in our faces and we still don't do anything about it. And they just laugh harder and harder every time they make it more and more obvious that none of this is legitimate. And we still participate. We still buy in. Trump is going to be in. He's gonna get through November for sure. And I think he will be there on January as well. And what happens after that, we'll see. I'm not making any predictions.
Well, you know, you gave a reasonable explanation as to why you think that, yeah, that he's still going to be around. I'm just going by the crazy stuff I see on YouTube. I'm not saying Richie from Boston is necessarily crazy per se, but, you know, he did show some kind of interesting stuff about, you know, why, you know, Trump, because the Emergency Act actually nullifies his position, whatever, okay? And then also the, you know, the fact that, if it's possible that they can, you know, like pull off getting rid of him, they will. But, you know, again, this is all speculation on my part, even your part, whatever. I'm not, you know, saying you're factually incorrect. Maybe I'm the one that's a little bit off factually, but maybe not. Because, like I said, this was said, you know, in a video about what that national act of emergency is for the country. This is what he claims, okay, whether you believe that this guy was correct or not. So, you know, I'm just saying that, but I do agree with you, Nick, on one fact, okay? I'm sorry, people, for sounding a little bit unsure. It's just that nobody really, this is such a crazy premise, right? seriously, this whole thing that nobody knows. However, I think many of us in this, you know, awakened community or whatever the hell you want to call it, I think we will agree that this may be one of the last, I would call it, as you claimed, Nick, there's a few ways to phrase this thing. Interestingly, there is actually a few ways to phrase this, because the political end of it, plus the societal part and the whole thing, but I would agree that this might be one of the last formal elections that we've ever had. Something to that effect, right? Because I think after this, things are going to be so, what's the term? Not, well, chaotic is appropriate, but it's more than that. It's going to be like, it's going to be, well, unpredictable, but just not stable. You see what I'm saying? I don't know. Maybe a banana republic is kind of like a weird way to put it. But yeah, this is definitely going to be something very unusual for what we're used to here in North America, right? Because in South America, they're used to more corruption and whatever. But up here, not that we're not corrupt. That's not what I mean. But we've been going by a certain way of doing things for a while that, I guess, if you want to say generally, has worked more in our favor than not. However, that can all be turned around and we can go into a real banana republic, chaotic state that, you know, North Americans are not really used to. But yeah, it's going to be interesting, whatever, right?
Well, I really do hope that they put a big push on, because there are more people waking up. It's still painfully, torturously slow. Mm-hmm. But if they start going really off the walls, like, you know, saying, well, this is the last election or whatever, that's when people are really going to start to say, hey, wait a minute, you know, this is too far. So the further they push them, the more people wake up and the more we can, you know, quit interfering, because it's really what it's all about. This whole thing has demonstrated what the cause of 99% of our problems are. And the cause is people feeling entitled to force their ways on other people. Okay, that is the cause of 99% of unnecessary suffering in this world. It's the cause of 99% of poverty and all of warfare. So, you know, and this is the big push, is now you can't even go into a store without somebody checking on you and harassing you if you don't follow these protocols. You know, it's getting people to dictate what they can or can't have on their own bodies and things like that. So that's how bad it's getting. And hopefully it gets 10 times worse than this so that people finally say enough.
No, I agree. That's the sad thing, you know, right? Things have to be so bad before they can turn around. But here's the catch-22 with this. Things get so bad, they may never recover. This is how insane this particular situation is. This is how, you know what I mean? Because it's not like the United States, for example, has seen its many places in the globe have seen trials and tribulations, including this country that I reside in. And in America, whatever, right? We've also overcome and succeeded despite, or recovered, say, despite the setbacks in the past. Yeah, that's what's interesting. We have done so, but now, you know, now is a different story. This is so global and so complicated and so tyrannical that we may not, right? We don't know. We just don't know. Seriously. Wow. And I mean globally. I'm not just talking about North America. I mean globally, we don't know, because we have to face the fact that this is so global that whether or not Americans choose to do something or not may or may not matter. But I do feel that we're still, see, this is a weird thing. Even though China is now a superpower, in my opinion, I think we would agree with that. But the United States still has a hold on the ideals of that, whether, you know, there's a lot to that. But my point, though, I still say that what Americans decide to do still holds some weight, meaning if we have less sheeple in this country, that holds weight for the rest of the world, like it or not. So this is why I still feel like this country here, and I'm going to throw Canada in, North American continent, I'm not saying it's the only continent in this world, okay, that has a powerful sway, not by any means, but it is a big one, a big player, and I think big in part of the mind control. I think it's important for us North Americans, for the whole world, but especially for us because, you know, all eyes are always on us and all the whatever stuff. So, yeah, no, we have, it is important energetically that we are more awakened because we still have some leeway. We still have elbow room to do kind of what we want a little bit if we push it, if we're aware, you know. So this is why I think it's important that North Americans in particular, or the West, and maybe places, free countries like Japan or Thailand, or yeah, and they need to, if they have certain freedoms, they need to push the bar too, okay? So any country that you live in, whether it be Sweden, whether it be Japan, whether it be Thailand, maybe even Mexico, although they're a little bit corrupt, but anywhere where you have a certain modicum of freedom, you got to practice it. This is why it's important for these, quote, free countries to be awake and be willing to use the elbow room that they have to make differences, you know.
Oh, it's really, we should move beyond the geographic location.
No, we can't, because I included, no, Nick, I included a variety of countries. I included North America, I included Mexico, I included Japan, Sweden. Yeah, so I'm talking globally, but I use these in particular sort of because there's still a certain modicum of freedom in all these places. Yeah, that's why it's important that we take that all the way to the wall, because we can, you know. But if you're in North America, I mean, if you're in North Korea, with the craziness that goes on there, you know, you don't have a lot of elbow room, is what I'm saying. But, you know, in these other places, we still have some. We have to take advantage of that, you know.
But I would like to make a point and then be able to exemplify why I make a point, if that's okay.
Sure.
So the reason I say that, and what I think the reason you are saying, you know, wherever you are, is because it has nothing to do with your location. What it has to do with is remembering who you are. Yeah. That, you know, you are, you know, the same as everyone else. Everyone has the same birthrights. That's what we need to relearn. Okay, we have a right to life. We have a right to freedom of movement, association, right to, you know, make a living. Those are rights. They're not privileges. They're not granted by government. I still hear people saying my constitutional rights. You never had a single right granted by any constitution ever in your life. That is another psyop.
Yeah.
That is a lie. Your rights are what you decide they are, okay, not somebody else. The only thing a constitution is supposed to do is protect those rights, not grant them. That's what people need to understand. So it doesn't matter where you are. You have the same rights as everyone else.
You understand, you're talking about a very high spiritual level. See, you are. Because understand something. Most, 99% of the countries in this world do not have that kind of very open, non-restrained freedom. Most countries, we're lucky we even friggin' have a damn constitution. And I'm not saying this because I believe in being led. I'm just saying to you that most countries don't even have that. They have tyranny. They've had it tyranny for decades and decades, maybe even centuries. So my whole point that I'm making is that, you know, when I say some of the countries I used as examples, it still stands. It actually doesn't go against what you're saying. It actually supports it. The reason I'm saying it supports your premise, because the reason I say it's important, and I did use North Korea as an example of how, see, here's the problem with a place like that. The problem with a place like that is that those people are so constrained in so many levels that they've been living a COVID existence for decades, right? I mean, this is, you know what I mean? So it's kind of like for them to break out of that is really not...
You know, North Korea and even China are the exceptions, really.
I know.
They're the only place, pretty much everywhere else, you can speak out. And I'm not talking about protesting and waving signs and getting big crowds and clashing with police and tear gas.
Right.
You know, all I'm talking about is associating and getting together and saying, you know, the people who are in the government, in the legislatures, they all also, you know, bound by the laws they're passing. So why don't we get together, stop selling out, stop trashing the world for profit, and you know, try to turn it into a future for ourselves, okay? And so I'm talking about a civilized dialogue instead of what government wants to do, which is just menace everybody into compliance, okay? That's what has to stop working. And the whole world doesn't have to put up with it anymore. The whole world doesn't have to put up with U.S. corporations forcing their genetic mutated Frankenfood on them. Yeah. You know, none of that has to happen. So I still go back to my idea that, you know, all we have to do is subsidize all agriculture. Now, agriculture is a huge segment of the economy, mm-hmm. where a lot of these oligarchs that are trying to just smash the face of humanity and yeah. just subjugate, they made their wealth off the backs of farmers. So, you know, if we were to take that away, take that cash cow away from them, subsidize all agriculture, get rid of welfare, get rid of unemployment, get rid of pension, old age pension, instead put that all into agriculture and then make food, basic food, free for everyone. Because we have abundance. There's no reason. They pay farmers not to grow crops to keep the value of the crops high, to generate, to enforce a scarcity. This is a crime against humanity. And that's, things like that are things we can't continue to put up with. If we do, we can expect what Stalin did to Russia. Now they're going to do that to the whole world. They're going to just starve us.
Yes, that's exactly what, you know, the scary thing about everything that's going on is not just the COVID restrictions, which are already tyrannical and unhealthy, as we just discussed, but also the cashless society, the food shortages, very key to what you just said. How they're going to use food shortages is how I think they're going to starve the populations, right? But you know what's scary? Oh, my God. How much scarier is it than that? But it can get worse, because then you throw in the 5G, you know, to ruin people's minds, health, and their thinking. Then you throw in the vaccine. So you got a population of people that are going to be restricted because of COVID, afraid to walk down certain streets because of rioting, lacking certain kinds of foods because they're restricting food growth and supply, having too much Wi-Fi 5G around them, and then thinking they can't work unless they get a vaccine. So it's really almost like entrapping a human being, on every possible level and angle, right? Think about it, you're in a cage and you got one arm you spread out and you can't leave. Your arm cannot reach out to get out of the cage on your right arm. You do the same with your left. You can't. You do it with your legs. You can't. Okay, all these things. So basically they're trying to get us from every single level and angle, right? That's what they're trying to do to us. It's crazy.
Well, really, what they're doing is they're tricking us to do it to ourselves. When they can't do any of it without
us. You are correct. I've said many times to people and on this show, if we just say no, this would not be happening. You're right. Correct.
And that's why I can't let it go.
I know.
It's not your president. It's the president of a corporation. Okay? It's not our leaders. God, I hate that. That has to change. Because if we're telling ourselves that, how can we expect to educate anyone else outside of what they already know?
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, though, Nick, here's where I'm not saying that I disagree with you. I don't. But I think, though, that since time immemorial, human beings, going back to tribal days, whatever, we've always had leaders, chieftains. This has always been, unfortunately.
That's not true. At least in my experience, because I remember... it was either on the news or at school. We were being taught that, you know, the government is our leader and blah, blah, blah. So I would go home.
No, I'm not talking about you're talking about modern times. I think this has been around.
Well, yeah, but let me tell you a little story about the recent past, okay? Uh-huh. So somewhere I would hear government is our leader. So I'd go to my parents and I would say to them, is government our leaders? And they told me absolutely not, because they had a slightly more classical education than we did. They hadn't perfected their propaganda as well as when I went to school. And so they actually told me, No, we are the government's leaders. Government, now in Canada, it's a little different where you have the leader of the three big parties and the leader of that party. So, the leader of the government leads the government. And then we are the government's leader. This is what they told me. Now it's completely different. Those same people tell me, where would we be without leaders? We can't function without leaders. We're useless. We're hopeless if we don't have government regulating human behavior. You know, we can't regulate our own behavior. We need somebody to regulate it for us. That's the attitude today. And that's a transformation from people who just a few decades ago said, no, government is not our leaders. And that's why to this day, I mean, I get triggered by that. I can't let that go. It just irks me when people refer to politicians that way. So, you know, when we got a classical education, when it was a trivium quadrivium, you know, you were taught to lead yourself. That's what the quadrivium and trivium are all about, is teaching you to be your own leader so that you can explore who you are and add your substance to the universe instead of just repeating what someone else wants. So that's why we're stymied right now. That's why we're going on a century and a half now of petroleum transportation monopolies and all these other monopolies we're suffering under and just being suffocated by. It all starts to what we tell ourselves.
Sure. But, you know, I appreciate that. We've discussed this very topic before. So, you know, again, understand when I talk about these things, Nick, I'm not trying to constantly, despite whatever, correct my speech, because I already understand the spirit of what you're saying, and I think the audience does too, hopefully. So when I speak about these things, I'm talking about the reality. It may have taken centuries, again, to have gotten where we are now. I think this is a reality we have to face, unfortunately.
Well, there have been periods of great freedom during the Roman Empire. Some say the Byzantine Empire was one of the best times in our history as far as innovation and freedom of living. Okay, so no, there have been other times when we had great prosperity.
Okay, I think what I want to... I know that, but I think what I'm trying to say is that, yes, during the course of human history globally, you had the Roman Empire and other societies all across the globe where there was freedom. So I'm not here to be negative and say that that has not happened or has not occurred, because it has. So I think what I'm trying to say with this, okay, is more like... what I'm trying to say about this whole thing is that it seems generally like that's cyclical somewhat cyclical, right? You're going to have these regions and eras where you have this great thing, and then that declines, and then another place comes up, whatever, okay? But what I'm saying to you about the whole process of humanity, I think this whole thing with leaders generally, okay, I'm not talking about the more better times and places like you mentioned about Rome or Greece. I'm talking about the general... just of humankind for thousands and thousands of years has been this problem with quote leaders. And I think that that's why we're here today. Okay. So I can't go into the detail of 10, 20, 30,000 years. I can't, and I won't. All right. So when I speak of these things, I know. So when I'm speaking of these things, I'm speaking from that perspective. I'm not speaking about, we have to, it's kind of a given for those of us that are awakened and aware that we have to detangle ourselves from the conditioning of the verbiage or the language.
Well, I know it's not just the verbiage.
But see, that's again, it took so long for so many people to get here that to detangle that is just an aspect of the process. But what I'm talking about is more current for the moment that, okay, we look at it now, people look at it now, then you want to think about neurolinguistic. You want to think about how for thousands of years we've been conditioned this way because of language. You know, so please understand, I know you refer a lot to language. It is important, but it's not the only important thing, okay?
And this is why it isn't, and I'm not only focused on language. What I'm saying is the language we use reflects our thinking, and it's our thinking that keeps us, that either frees us or keeps us imprisoned. So all I'm trying to do is get people to realize that when they use those words that are put out and we're programmed by, we're locking our thinking in that slave mindset, in the mindset that social engineers have crafted for us. And that's our key to getting out of this, is to first tell ourselves, I have power. I don't have leaders. I am a leader. And with that, that's your starting point. That's one step. We can't even take that one step yet. How can we expect to get anywhere if we don't take that first step?
Okay. I want to transition to something else I saw on the news here. Let me see here. Was this on the news? There was an interesting story, and I'm trying to look for it. Did I put it on here? Oh, yeah. Well, it was an article, but then I actually saw something about it on a video. You know, nursing homes, you can't see people that you love, you know, dying or be with them when they're dying. And the funerals, I was watching a video of a funeral where everyone was social distance in the room. And, you know, the commentator was like, well, hell, you know, the mother or the husband wants to be comforted by the adult child because the spouse is dead and that you can't even hug them. I think the funeral director stopped the hug. So I think this was a Jeff C video, actually. And he said, this is the most tyrannical, abusive thing in the world. You know, to stop somebody from hugging someone when they're at mourning. And I thought to myself, if people can't logically see just how evil that is, then am I wrong to think that people are evil, or are they just stupid? Because you know what? I mean, here's the thing. If I was in that room, of course, I don't want to make a scene because I respect the more people that are mourning, right? But on the other hand, I think somebody needs to stand up and say, why are we social distancing at a funeral? Why is it that the grieving person can't be hugged? Is there anything normal about this? I mean, I think it's about time people started to say it, right? I'm talking, say it in the room, not just watch a video and make a comment. I think the families themselves have to fight this. This is another friggin' fight people have to do, right? I mean, but what more better place to do it? I'm serious. It's very impacting, I think. I think it's extremely impacting. It's more impacting than going up to a parent who has a kid that's wearing a mask and saying, ma'am, you know, your child doesn't need to wear a mask and it's very unhealthy. Well, she's going to say F you, right? But I think if you're at a funeral and you pull people to the side either before or after and you make your statement, I think it's powerful. And, you know, I'm sorry. I know it's painful, but maybe not before. That's a little bit of a problem. Well, if you feel your instinct tells you to say something before, okay, but maybe after, I think it's good to say something. If you're like at a reception or something, you know what, I'm sorry, but I have to say that I was very unhappy about the funeral, the memorial, because the people who passed, their loved ones, weren't even allowed to have a hug. So I'm very, very disappointed. I don't think that's unreasonable to say that at this point.
So there was some kind of a sign there that says no hugging?
I think, I wasn't sure about the sign. I think that the funeral directors kind of separate the people. Or, you know, now the funeral directors, or not the people that, whatever, I guess, what they're, is that what they're called? The people that are at the usher.
We have a priest or minister conduct the ceremony.
The ushers, the people that are hanging, you know, the hired ushers that hang around to make sure that everything flows smoothly with the funeral, okay? So these are the people now that are put in the position of being COVID. I call them COVID directors now. Right? Because now they're going to stop people from hugging each other. I mean, really? Oh, God.
Well, the thing to do is to speak with your body and just hug. And, you know, don't threaten to hug the usher or anything, but hug each other right in their face. Just hug. You know, you don't have to, you know, be, yeah, it is private property and they make the rules, but absurd rules can be ignored.
I agree.
Absolutely ignored. That's what we need to do, is start ignoring them.
I agree. And if you don't want to go through all the trouble, here's my suggestion to you listeners. Seriously, because maybe some of you are going through it now or will be. If you want to avoid all this BS, this is just my opinion. If you're fortunate enough to live in an area where your neighbors are not nosy and they leave you alone, okay, even with parking or whatever, maybe have your own memorial in your own home for your loved one. You know, in other words, if you can do it, it's maybe better. That way, once people enter your home, anything goes. You're the ones, you know, you decide. It's not, you don't have a, what do you call it, an employer of a funeral home or whatever, okay, telling you what you can or can't do if it's in your own home. So I'm just saying, if you can do it, that's my suggestion.
Yeah, I like the idea of a memorial, but as far as funerals go, I think that's another satanic ritual, if you ask me. I mean, I feel...
I agree. There is a difference, but I think I'm speaking more of a memorial then. So I guess, let me transition my language again. I'm talking about if some your loved one dies. See, now here's the problem. This is a big friggin' problem. You and I think this way, so it's not a big deal. But if you have family members that disagree, you may not even be able to, well, you can still have it. If the people who agree to join it want to, they can. And if close ones don't want to, they have the option not to, which is kind of tragic. But my point is that if you want to give a memorial to a beloved one, okay, you can, if you can, if your neighbors do not interfere with parking or snitch on you because they suspect that you have people over, then, you know, I'm just saying, if you can avoid that, then go ahead and do it. Because as far as I'm concerned, you could have a nice memorial in your home under your own rules, right? So if people, if they want to come in wearing masks, that's their choice. You're not going to stop them. But, you know, you're going to tell people you may or may not want to wear a mask if you come in here. That's your choice. I'm not enforcing anything, okay? Number one. Number two, I am not enforcing in my home social distancing. So in other words, I think you want to prepare all the people that you invite that this is what's going to happen, because some people are stupid and paranoid about this. So you could just tell everybody the same information. You email them or call them or text them the same information. Say A, B, C, D. Right? You go down bullet point. Say one, it's my home. Two, I do not enforce certain things. You, if you choose to wear a mask or not, it's up to you. If you choose to social distance or not, that's up to you. Although it might be difficult in a home, so that's a warning. If that is something that bothers you, then do not attend. Okay? And then three, yeah, we're going to have food, bring it or not, or whatever, and that's whatever, okay? So I guess that's – and four, if you wish to hug people and you're okay with that or you're okay with receiving hugs, you're welcome. So I think it's important to put those bullet points out to those you invite. And then that way you know if somebody doesn't want to participate, they don't have to. But if they're like, oh, no, I love so-and-so, and I don't care. I don't care about all this COVID stuff. I'm going and I'm participating. Then you know, you kind of sort of can expect, okay, that friend, that family member is okay with this scenario, right? Okay, that's just an idea. So,
what else you could do is put some colloidal silver in a misting diffuser, mm-hmm. and that way your host is safe.
Well, you know, not everybody believes in that, right? I mean, you could do that, and I think that's great. But again, people that are hardcore, you know, they may not even know or are aware of what that is or care. All they care about is a stupid mask and just, you know.
Yeah, I should say that was just safe from any pathogen mm-hmm. that might be in the area.
Sure. It's,
you know, the COVID thing notwithstanding, as far as
right, right, exactly.
That's all a hoax. But yeah, I mean, you can explain to people, and it would hopefully help educate them on the idea that colloidal silver actually leaves benign bacteria intact,
right.
So that you still build your immune system, but it seeks out and destroys pathogens somehow.
Right. Sure, you can add that onto the little notes and say, hey, I've got this going on, so you're okay. If you know, if you're open-minded to it, you'll be fine, you know. So yeah, I mean, you know, and again, I'm pretty confident that, you know, half the people, if they were invited to such a function, they would go and have no issue, really.
Sure.
But you know, you always have a few people that are anal. We know the people who wear masks and cars and all that. They're maybe the types that are more weird about it. But yeah, I don't think a lot of people necessarily would be against this. But you know what's scary about the times we live in is, again, sure, the people you invite to this may not have an issue, but you know what? Be careful of your neighbors. I'm lucky where I live. My neighbors probably wouldn't care. Okay, seriously. But there's people that live in environments, whether they be apartments or even neighborhoods, just in general, where, you know, your neighbors are troublemakers or snitches. They'll be like, oh, yeah. No. Huh? Yeah. Like, they'll even know. Oh, yeah, we know so-and-so died. You know, Joe's wife died. We know somebody's parent or child or whatever died in that house. And all of a sudden, we see a bunch of cars come up. Oh, they're having a non-COVID approved memorial. Let's, you know, call the cops. So you might have that issue. So you might want to know who your neighbors are. But anyway, I'm just saying, you know. But other than that, yeah, if you think you can pull it off, do it. You know, because to me, that's better than putting up with the BS from a funeral home. You know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah, I don't want anything to do with, personally, like, when I'm done, just throw me in a dumpster across streets. I'll go to landfill.
Yeah, but understand, Nick, if you don't mind me saying on air, you're a single guy with no wife, no kids, no, you know what I mean? People have, you know, they have families, spouses, extended people that actually want to have a memorial.
Well, that's the thing is, if I had a family and all of that, they would probably have their own thinking as well. And
right.
One thing I would make sure they did was think outside of that box of, well, we've got to go through these procedures, these
but
rituals.
They wanted to do it because they loved you. I think you need to also
that's
understand.
That's why I say it's a good idea to have a memorial. Sure, have a gathering,
that's,
have a little party.
That's not a memorial. Oh, no, no. I agree with you, but I'm going to be cremated. So it doesn't matter to me about that. But, I mean, memorials for anybody, that's a different thing. Yeah, that's really different.
Yeah, and you know, they say that funerals and memorials are for the living. There's really nothing you can do for the dead. They're dead. They're gone. They're finished.
I know, but a memorial is a nice way to kind of give closure.
That's why they say it's
the person, right. Yeah.
Right, that's why they say it's for the living.
Exactly.
And so that's what you want to do.
Well, of course it's for the living, but that's important. Closure.
They say memorials are to give credence and homage to this person. No, it's not really that at all. It is to give people closure, exactly what you said. That's
well,
the real purpose.
And this depends on your religion and our spirituality. Some people feel that there's a spiritual component. In other words, it's not just closure, but it's also a way to pray for the deceased person's easy
transition.
Well,
again,
whatever.
It is spiritual, and I say it's satanic. I believe all these
well,
rituals
it depends,
are
though. That, I don't know about that because look, we know that prayer can work. So if somebody passes and you're in a room under, you know, Nick, this is not just a compartmentalized thing. You have a room full of people who are mourning because they want to give homage to a person that they loved and they want closure and they want to be with people that knew the person too. You have to think about that. And then also, which could be family, friends, and so forth. And then the prayer part for the spiritual, if that's an aspect of it, is so that the people can converge, pray together, and there's energy with that. So,
sure.
You know, that's not a bad thing.
Absolutely. Now, I'm not saying any of that is bad. What I'm saying is all this ritual that has been built up around that is extra fluff for one thing to, you know, make money another business.
Oh, well, I agree with you. I agree. You could be right, but you're right. But let me shorten it to where you can have it, a spiritual one, without a pastor, right?
Okay.
You could be the one to lead the prayer. I'm just saying. You see what I mean? So it's not even like it has to be that formalized. It could be spiritual in the way that you want it, right? You have that right. Just to say, you know, I don't have a pastor here today, but I'm going to lead the prayer. And if you guys want to do your own prayers, you can.
So
let's have a moment of silence, right? Whatever religion you are. So, you know, you could do it like that. But
I was going to make a point on that, but I'm having a really hard time getting my points out.
Oh, I did interrupt you. Forgive me. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I kind of lost it now, but we'll come back.
We were talking about, you were saying about the pastors and that whole paradigm. Yeah, because I was saying that you can do something different from that, but you were going to comment on that.
I don't know. I'll come back to me later.
Okay. You're right, though. There is an industry with that. I know that.
Yeah.
Don't agree with it either. But, you know, again, you don't have
In advertising. I just got a chuckle really in a very uncomfortable manner when I see a funeral commercial.
Be thankful, though. We live in an era in our society in particular where you have a freedom to create your own memorial. As a matter of fact, Forest Lawn, okay, you're in Canada, so you may not have Forest Lawn. This is, I think, a phenomenon out here in the western part of the United States. I live real close to one, and my dad's buried there. Well, he's cremated. And many people I know that have died have been buried, whatever form, cremated, buried, here at Forest Lawn, okay, right here near me. But that's like a chain of funeral homes and cemeteries. But their advertisement for the longest time is have your own funeral the way you want it. And I think that's the trend now, right? So really, we live in a kind of a free-form society in this factor here, where we don't have to call in the pastor. We don't have to have a ritualized, overly ritualized memorial. You can have a very, very, I mean, I've heard of this, and they even talk about it in the ads, where, you know, like you have bikers that have like their own unique biker kind of like funeral or memorial. Okay, I'm just saying, you know, there's so many funky things you can do.
That reminded me of what I wanted to say about that. Okay, is there are certain cultures that actually have a party and celebrate your life,
right,
instead of making it a tear-jerking thing.
Right.
You know, and that would be a little more less satanic, in my opinion. Okay. Bikers notwithstanding, whole culture is...
I know what you're saying, but don't the Irish people, didn't they call that a wake? I mean, I know they're Catholic, but... or whatever, but you see, they had a wake, right, where they would party. I don't think it's a new phenomena. I think that, but I think the difference with nowadays is we have more options. We do. You know, we can have a memorial that's more, like I said, you don't have to have a central religious figure there. You could be the person to lead the prayer or the moment of silence or whatever. And you can have fun music. This is me. I don't believe memorials should be like black and white. They're up to the person. But why not have like a variety of music? Like have solemn music, have joyful music, have it all. I do notice that with memorials that I've been to where they varied the music they did. So, you know, you can have that. You can have prayer. But I have to tell you though, Nick, even the memorials or whatever you call it that I attended where it was very diverse in that respect, like what they chose to do, people still cried because they miss the person. Because when you have all that energy in that room, you know, all the memories of that person is going to come up. So you can never say that like a memorial is like a party. It is and it isn't. But that's human nature. It's not going to be black and white. Like this is all about mourning and sadness and bereavement, or it's all about a party. It's never going to be like that. It's always going to be both. It's always going to be funny. People crying, people depressed, angry, and people cracking jokes. This is what I've noticed. So that's the true nature of memorials. You can have a lot of the gamut of human expression is you're going to see it. I've seen it all in one event like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's kind of what we have is options here in this culture, which I think is good. You know, I think that's
great. Yeah, well, the fact is we've always had those options. You know, the fact that some of those options were imposed upon is the exception, not the rule.
What they are, again, like I said earlier, it's just decades and centuries of various, some of it mind control, some of it ritual. But understand, too, and I don't want to get too much into it, but like I've said to you before, you know, whether it's good or bad, culture is also part of the scene, too. So, you know, some of this stuff is cultural, and you can't say that that is all good, bad, or whatever. It's all different. So, you know, when you look at the whole picture, Nick, it's about ritual. It's about culture. It's about every religion, spiritual, whatever, right? That's the whole thing, okay? That's just, I mean, depending on where you live or whatever. What time frame in history you live in as well, right? I mean, think of it this way. There's periods in history, because this is evolving too, right, in different directions. Because during the Victorian era, or I should say preceding that, and in some cultures, right, because Victorian is more Western, but in some Islamic cultures or Middle Eastern or Victorian, whatever, or Asian or whatever, there were some bizarre mourning rituals. Like widows would have to go into mourning for long periods of time. This isn't just here. This is like across the world. Like you'd hear these stories about, widows would go into mourning. I'm like, wow, you know. That's where the thing about wearing black, the widow, right? The black widow, she would, I think it's, I don't, was it, is it is, well, in Islam, you see a lot of women wearing black anyway, okay? But I'm just saying, like, even in, I think it was the Victorian era, or even in parts of Asia, East Asia, right? Where people would wear black clothing, especially the women, for months. That was a given, but there, people aren't doing that anymore. So, you know, understand these things evolve too, right? They change. They're not, they're, what is it? They're static. They're not dumb, or they're, they change because fashion changes, culture can change, or psychological rituals can alter. This is why, like I said, now we have a lot of freedom with the kind of memorials we can have, but 100, 200 years ago in any given part of the world, the type of memorial you would have was very, a certain way. And then, you know, maybe later they change. It just depends on where you live. You know, I don't know.
But really, you can have your own thing anywhere because, you know, the government, there's, you know, people since the beginning of time have naturally just found ways to express their
sure.
own rituals, you know, in private. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, this government stuff, this cultural stuff that's...
Well, yeah, I mean, the culture and the government are connected, but that's a very complicated relationship. Very. Because you don't know what came first, the chicken or the egg. Sometimes cultural norms or trends, sometimes they override governmental ones. You know, because understand, this is very complicated. The government does influence culture, but the culture influences government. It's a two-way street. Well, very complicated.
That's what government has always aspired to do, was really codify culture and have full control so that they can direct it and, you know, maximize what they can extract from it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what governments are all about. And you know, that's... It goes in waves where government has sure. a great influence, government has less influence, and when there's less government influence, that's when you get far more freedom and far more, you know, innovative expression of individuals.
Mm-hmm.
Orwell made a big mistake. He said that capitalism is the antithesis of collectivism, which is mm-hmm. utter nonsense.
Yeah, I don't want capitalism, to go. But you're right.
Capitalism is in many ways even more collectivized.
It is, in a sense, yeah.
You know, than a lot of other ideologies. So really, they're all designed to collectivize mentality, collectivize thought.
Sure they are.
All of these isms.
Mm-hmm.
And look at how collectivized we are now.
Yeah.
The way to, one big way to collectivize us is to divide us. So that we get into two camps. And then each of those two camps are highly, highly collectivized. And that's what we're seeing right now.
Right.
You know, marriages are falling apart because somebody supports Trump. Give me a break. Like, your whole life is based on Trump. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Or pro or anti, right? Because you could have yeah. go both ways. It's kind of... Oh, my goodness. That can be so bizarre.
And I'm not picking on Trump. I don't think he's that bad of a guy. But he is, like it or not, I mean, whether he means to be or not, he is one of the most divisive presidents in history.
He really is.
And nobody wants to admit that.
No.
A lot of people who are offended by those words.
Well, no. I think he's fully divisive, whether you like him or not. It doesn't matter. He's just divisive, yeah. Because of the way, the time and the history and who he is and the expression and the whole thing. Yeah, it's kind of...
Just look where they are. They're not able to do anything they would normally do as people.
No.
Talk about collectivized. Oh, man. The higher up you get that pyramid, the more stringent, the more cinched down that noose is around you.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why if we follow that, we're basically putting the noose around ourselves.
Well, that's the reason why people are falling on this COVID stuff too, right?
Yeah.
Like, I can't breathe. Well, you got a noose. I see the noose is tightening around your neck. Oh, you mean my mask? Yeah. No, my mask isn't killing me. The noose is, no, get it? The noose is, your mask is your noose. Oh, my God. You can't breathe because the noose is your, the mask is whatever, right? It's the same thing. Oh, my goodness. But But I got a fashionable noose. I've got little kitty cats on my noose. Look at, see how cute. See, look. Right? My children are wearing nooses. Aren't they cute? Look how tiny.
Yeah, I should really say leash rather than noose. I don't mean to say right. Like hang ourselves.
No, you're right. You're right. Yeah.
But I was thinking roping ourselves around about the chest.
Yeah.
But you cinch that down tight enough, you won't be able to breathe either.
That's the whole point. A noose, a leash, a mask. It's all meant to inhibit breathing, period. You know what's another weird thing? If dogs and cats are mammals, aren't they susceptible to coronavirus? So why aren't people putting masks on their pets? Am I correct?
That's the theory.
Right?
Yeah, apparently dogs have a lot of different species of coronavirus in them all the time, just like us.
And nobody's masking their damn dog. And not
well,
only that,
because it's like bird flu, swine flu. They're not normally human transmissible. So they have a different species, subspecies.
Okay, you're right. I was wrong.
But make no mistake, pharmaceutical companies are doing everything they can to intermingle those coronaviruses.
Yeah.
Like I have a Toronto Sun article from, I think, mid-90s, where Baxter Pharmaceuticals shipped a whole bunch of seasonal flu vaccine to Poland. And what they do in Poland is they test the vaccines on ferrets before they release them. And if the ferrets get sick, then they know the vaccines are contaminated and not to use them. The ferrets didn't get sick. The ferrets died.
Wow.
Okay, so this was very alarming to them. So they did full testing on what did they find? They found H5N1 contaminating all of the vaccines that were sent to them.
Oh, my goodness.
And it said in the article that that's exactly how you start a pandemic, is you put human non-transmissible H5N1 in with human transmissible seasonal flu. You inject that in someone, and once in a while, you will get the right recombination of a human transmissible H5N1 bird flu. Pandemic started. That's how you start a pandemic. And you know, it said in the article that Baxter wasn't able to say what happened or how this happened because it would release company secrets or something like that. Oh, they almost start a pandemic, but they're allowed to not say how it happened. So we all have to just deal with that. It's okay. Go ahead, Baxter. So that's just what they caught. So clearly they're doing this on a regular basis. They are putting H1N1 in with seasonal flu vaccines, and they are shooting those into people who are going around and trying to get that Russian roulette bullet that will have someone recombine to make a human transmissible bird flu or swine flu. They're doing it all the time. And you know, right there, it's right in our faces. Oh, who can, you know, it's nothing we can do. So we're just sitting ducks.
Yeah, now that I think about the COVID vaccine, what's scary about it is not only is it biometric and can mess with your mind with virtual reality, but I'm thinking they might do variations of this thing. Like if they want to kill certain, it's almost like, are you going to get the kill shot or are you going to get the virtual shot? Because I'm almost thinking like they might want to enslave people into a virtual reality where they can control them, which is a given. We know about that with this biometric thing. Or they may want to actually literally kill some people through a process of this that's administered through this vaccine, through like something like what you're talking about. So, yeah, you're screwed whatever way, whatever form of this vaccine you get, you're going to be screwed. You know, it's not good.
Yeah, shudder at the thought of what's coming down.
Yeah, I don't, you know, sometimes when I have the news on in the background and I hear them saying, oh, well, this is, and a vaccine's on its way. And I'm like, oh, I know, please, no.
And as 95% of the population jumps for joy at the vaccine, they're going to be jumping on our heads to hold us down while we get forced injected. You know, and that's kind of the way it's been. Like you mentioned, going back to, I forget exactly the words you used, but, you know, the world getting back to the way it was somehow. And really, for me, that's a nightmare as well, because there was never, this world really wasn't a nice thing from the beginning, from what I could tell. And I haven't had that bad of a life. It's just that it's so ugly that, you know, the way, the callousness and the utter disregard for the well-being of each other is a nightmare that just won't, you cannot wake up from. And the suffering that I didn't suffer, but I see it around me. I can't live with that. I can't be okay knowing that there are so many innocent people suffering unnecessarily. How are you doing? I'm not okay. No, I'm not good. Because look around. I can see what's happening. And we're not supposed to be okay with that. So we're just fooling ourselves, you know, to thinking that we should go back to the way it was. No, we shouldn't. We need to delete this entire system. We know how to do it. We know how to do it right. We know how to what we need to do to fix the problems of obesity, of rampant disease, and you know, people dying young, and people so stupid they can't even, you know, run their damn lives. We know how to fix that, and yet all we care about is how much gas we got in our SUVs. I mean, I'm done with it. So, you know, we got, again, that's the real spirit, is when we touch the spirit. The spirit is one thing that is and should be collectivized. Mm-hmm. Is we touch a common thread, a common vibration, when we get in touch with our own spirit. And then we can see, we just automatically, we instinctively know where attention needs to be placed and work together to fix these things. But that's where we're separated, is in the spirit, mainly, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the church said, is, you know, we're all in it. Well, they say we're in it together, but really what they're doing is they're individualizing us and separating, isolating us from each other.
Oh, yeah, no, this is, you want to know what's weird about this? It's like, I think to myself, like, you know, there's a lot of people who've, whatever, like myself, who've made friends, I still have friends. But then there's some people who they moved and they don't have anybody except who's online, you know, and now with this situation, they can only, it's like, so, it's a weird thing, you know? I mean, yeah, it is weird. I think the people who have decent, spouses or family members that are actually physically in proximity are extremely lucky. You know, I mean, again, as long as there's not any major, you know, issues of, you know what I mean? You enjoy them, you love them, you like their company, there's nothing majorly wrong. You know, there's always going to be arguments or, you know, issues with people, but you know what I mean? As long as it's not like horrific. I mean, be grateful to any of you listening out there if you happen to have, you know, either a nice spouse or a decent family. And, you know, for the most part, it's not bad and it's fairly good. Be glad, you know, because in this environment, people are so isolated. If they don't have, you know, again, this could vary so much. There's so much, human beings are so, you know, varied that, you can have all kinds of levels of people where they might have a real strong area in one and not as much in another. But I'm telling you, if you're lucky in that all-around way where you have some immediate family, partner, spouse, family around you, or you're in constant contact with even people who live far, that are close to you, that are like family, or they are, you know, your loved ones, be grateful. Because there's people I know now, like, they had family at one time, but everybody died, you know, maybe they're divorced or they've never been married and they're like, they have friends, but really when I think about it, they're a little bit isolated and there's nothing they can do about it because right now we're not living in a super, you know, we're living in a socially restricted situation. So it's not even like there's an escape valve always ready. You know, that's amazing, isn't it? To even think like that. There was once a time where I'm not a proponent of Starbucks, please. I'm just using a pure example. As a matter of fact, I'll just say your neighborhood coffee place. you know, there was a time once where, say, if you did get a divorce or you did move away or whatever, and you felt like, you know what, I got to distract myself. I'm going to neighborhood coffee house down the street, and I'm just going to have a coffee and talk to somebody, right? You could do that then, but now that's restricted. It's not right, you know? So if you're very, if you're already very isolated because of your circumstance, it makes it worse. So I think, again, you guys, anybody listening, if you're lucky enough to have people around you where there's some level of caring and love and they're around you, be glad, okay? Because it's not like we're in a really weird situation to where if you don't have that, wow. Yeah, please be glad if you have it. Do not lose it.
Derive the benefits from that. It can be tough as well. You know,
sure.
I know what it's like to try to live with someone.
Yeah. You know,
yeah, if you can,
yeah, go ahead.
If you can, you know, see enough of the world as it really is instead of what the TV says it is, then
right.
That's our best chance to be able to, you know, find ways to really thrive together.
Well, you know, the good thing is I do notice a lot of people are complaining about TV, and it's about, not that they never have before, but I'm hearing more complaints about it, which I think is good. That gets people away from it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just shut off my TV today. All of my sports teams are not playing right now, and that's the only thing I watched on television.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And right. So I was so glad to be able to call them up, and I was able to get, if you want to save a few bucks, I think most companies do this, most telecom companies do this across the continent. You can call up your provider and say, hey, can you put me on an introductory schedule, billing? And like here, I think most places will say, well, let me look and I'll see what's available. And they'll say, yeah, I can put you on $30 off your bill for 6 months or 12 months. And I think that's what they give me is 12 months. And so when I shut off the TV, I ask, can I keep my introductory discount? She said, well, let me go and check. And she put me on hold for a while. She came back and, yeah, your internet is $83.95 or something a month, but you still get the $30 off. So now my bill goes from about $150 down to $50.
Mm.
Man, $100 a month. That's a big saving.
That's pretty good.
And now, well, I guess all my sports teams are on Rogers, the big mobile carrier here in Canada. And they're naming all the sports stadium Rogers. I think they're going to rename the province of Ontario Rogers Land. Toronto is going to become Rogersville, and pretty soon Canada will be Rogers Land, I think. Because Rogers has just taken over everything up here. And they've got all the sports teams now, so I can just subscribe to Rogers One, $10 a month, and I get all the sports I want.
Well, that's not bad.
I don't like Rogers. I used to use them as my mobile service, and they are they are demons.
Really? Yeah.
Well, when they get that big, they get so arrogant. They don't care about the customers.
Yeah, they don't.
Just give us your money and get the hell out.
That's right. Oh, my God, up where you live in Canada, I'm sure you have the same problem. I'm not a big TV watcher. Everybody knows that. But like I said on this show, I walk by the TV because I live with people who watch it, you know, whatever. It's not a criticism. It's just the way it is. But, you know, and I can't handle it. It's like horrible. And one thing I absolutely despise, too, amongst so much when I walk by the TV are these 5G commercials. You see a lot of any of those? Oh, God.
You know, I haven't seen a lot of 5G commercials, but when I was watching the Blue Jays, their Blue Jays Central like commentary half hour, sponsored by the new Samsung S20 5G.
Yeah.
And you could see Jamie Campbell. I like Jamie Campbell, but you could see in his eyes there was something behind there. He's trying to give subliminal messages of apology for saying that, because he needs his job. It's a good job, and I like it. Mm-hmm. I like the way he does it, and so I'm glad he's there. Just get through that one piece and try to give a little twinkle, because I'm telling you, not even a wink, because that'll be too much. Your bosses will catch on to that. But there's just a tiny twinkle in his eye when he says 5G.
Did you say
Jamie Campbell?
Oh, I'm sorry. You know what? I don't like Jimmy Kimmel, but Jamie Campbell. Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, Jimmy Kimmel is a total sleazebag.
Yeah, he is.
He's going to be with his father when he's done. Absolutely.
You know, another thing, too, is like, TV. Don't get me started. Oh, it's so horrible. It's just so awful. And, the 5G. Oh, yeah, that's what I wanted to talk about. I don't know if I've spoken about this topic, before on my show. Maybe not. Maybe I have. What about where you live, Nick? You have a lot of the chemtrail webs? Because here in my yards, we have a lot. Do you?
Well, you also get that heavy-duty checkerboard sky, right?
Yeah, sometimes, yeah. Mm-hmm.
How often? Twice a year? Well,
here's the thing. Since COVID, we haven't had that many airplanes. So you would think that this stuff has stopped, but it's all over the place where I live, all this stuff.
But, you know, I've never seen those checkerboards in our skies. There's just these giant X's and X and X,
right.
You know, four or five X's.
Sure.
So I don't think they spray in that high a concentration to make those webs. The only thing I see that does look weird is when we get a good rain and the water collects on the roads, it's foamy.
Ew.
Yeah, it's really gross. And, you know, some areas may have some spills or something, so it's foamy in one area. But, no, I'll travel halfway across the city, and it's foamy all the way. The whole city is like this foam in the rainwater.
Yeah, that's probably from some form of you know, I'm no expert. I mean, it sounds like it could be pollution or chemtrail. Something's wrong. Yeah.
Well, it definitely seems like chemtrail, because I don't remember seeing that.
Wow. That's weird.
I can't say. Well, actually, yeah, I guess I can at least once or twice. I noticed it twice now, and I can say at least one of those times was after a heavy chemtrail day.
But getting back to I call them chemtrail webs because, you know, as you guys know or you may know, they appear like spider webs.
Yeah, I've seen them on videos.
And they're so sticky. Have you ever dealt with them?
No, like I say, I've never seen that in person, but I have seen videos of it.
Jesus, all you need to do is come to my house and I'll show. Seriously. And you know what? My camera sucks. I've taken pictures. I'll try to send them to you. They're not that good. I'll try to send a video. I'll try. Oh, I could use another phone in the house. Okay. Anyway, I'll try. But these things are horrible. They're horrible because they're sticky, right? They're so sticky. And guess what? Today when I did the trash, did I tell you guys? Now when I do the trash, I wear plastic gloves. I do. I buy like those bunches of those plastic gloves, like the real thin kind, and I actually put them on when I do and take out the trash now, because my trash cans have all this webbing around it now. I mean, not all over it, but in the crevices and around the wheels and sometimes around the handles. So I don't take a chance. I actually wear gloves. Isn't that crazy? That's crazy. I wonder if
Trump has ever commented on chemtrails.
I don't know if he has.
That's probably a topic he can't touch.
Maybe not.
If he ever treads there, that would be serious.
Yeah. But yeah, I think you're right. But can you believe that? And lately in the last year, in my front yard and my backyard, I'm seeing this stuff grow on my vegetables. It's growing all over the roses, the veggies, the trash cans, the fence. It's either the crevices of the stone fence. I see the webbing. Is this crazy?
That's one of the things that when people say, oh, you know, it's getting better, the white hats are winning, and there's pushback, and I go out the next day and there's all these chemtrails and there's absolutely nothing getting better. I'm sorry. That is kind of my yardstick to decide if things are getting worse or better. And every time I'm seeing a sky full of chemtrails, there's no way you can convince me that anything is happening for the good.
But here's the weird thing. because there's less air travel now, okay? When I look at the skies, I don't see that hardly any planes or hear hardly any airplanes anymore. But this is the weird thing. I think the reason I see all this debris, this chemtrail web stuff, is because the seed has already been planted. Does that make sense? It's kind of like it was already over time implanted, and even though they're not necessarily spraying at the moment, right, this stuff is still hanging around here. Does it make sense? It might even be growing because it's nanotechnology. It may even be proliferating. It looks like every day I find a new one, okay?
You know, you only see the chemtrails during the day, but there's no question they're coming at night as well.
I'm not hearing planes. That, look, I don't...
When they're at 20,000 feet, you don't hear nothing.
Oh, I see what you're telling me now. Okay, that could be happening. All right. Okay, then, that's happening because I will tell you something. It's all around my yard. It's freaking everywhere.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, and is it like neighbor's yards? Like, is it a whole neighborhood?
I haven't looked as much. It seems like I need to start looking because where I live here in this house, it is. But I need to start observing other places. Because some people say that they've seen it in their own areas, but I'm telling you, my house is a lot. Not in the house, of course. I mean externally. Yeah. Because mm-hmm. every time I'm out there doing the trash, watering the yards, I water the yard every day, but I can't afford to touch that stuff. So, you know, of course, I wear gloves and I dispose of them like they're hazardous waste. I wear gloves and I put them in a baggie, I seal it and throw it away. But I have to be careful not to, you know, they're not supposed to touch it, right? I have to be careful. Because the other day I was throwing it, I was wearing gloves and I threw it in the trash, but like a little thread of it touched my arm really quickly. Like, and I went and washed my arm. So I'm just saying, what?
Sorry, finish.
No, I'm just saying. So my point is that, you know, I have to clean it. I mean,
Yeah.
Other people here have helped me, but that's not enough. There's a lot. And I have to keep it up. So, you know, I can't let it go. So I have no choice. I have to clean it. So I protect myself with all this gear, okay?
Maybe you need a pressure washer.
Uses
a lot of force with not that much water, and it really does a good job of scrubbing surfaces.
There's a problem with that a little bit. I'm no expert, but please, I think there is an issue with that. And the reason why is because, in part, that's kind of okay, but I guess it is better because at least it's the thing I'm thinking with that, though, is that okay, well, then all that refuse goes into the grass, but I don't know, whatever. See, because what I'm trying to do is when I extricate the stuff, I throw it in a bag and seal it and throw it in the trash because I figure I'm not against using water, like you said, but what happens with water is what? Then that stuff goes into the grass. It goes into the vegetation. See what I'm saying? This is what's nasty about
it. It's going to make its way there anyway. What you're doing is you're flushing it so that it can, okay, at least a lot of it can be carried away.
All right.
But what I would suggest you shoot a video of wearing your gloves and grabbing a strand of it and just holding it in front of the camera and showing.
Yeah. Okay. Good idea. All right, then. That's an idea. Oh, and by the way, that should be easy because around the wheels of my trash cans, they're all encircled around it, and there's all kinds of, plant debris that sticks to it. Yeah, so that would make an excellent video. If you see me removing, look, everybody, you can see the web here. You can see all the plant debris stuck to it as I throw it in the bag. See, yeah, I think you're right. I should do that. I didn't think of it. Good idea.
And I'll start checking the snow this winter, see if it lights on fire or if it doesn't.
Oh, my. I know, huh? Here, I don't have snow here, but you have it there, and then you're going to start, oh, my God, the snow's on fire. Oh, my God, that would be nuts.
Yeah, it seems to be getting pretty bad now. Like, whatever they're doing, they're just pulling out all the stops, and it's full force. I don't see any pullback on that at all.
Yeah, but this is my whole point. Whether it be snow on fire or cobwebs everywhere where I live, I'm just saying you're right. It's like insane. You want to know what's even crazier? How could the deniers, I'm telling you, if a denier came to my house and saw those webs, right? Are they going to look at me and tell me those are spider webs? You don't even see damn spider on them. They are not spider webs, okay? We know what those are from our childhood for the most part. We know what those are. This ain't it. These things are sticky, white. I don't see no spiders on them. I see tons of plant debris stuck to it. Ugh. Does that make sense to you? Plant debris?
Well, that's if they land on plant debris, right? It sticks to it.
Well, no. What's bizarre about it is, like I said to you, the example of the wheels on my trash can, right? Trash cans. All this chem debris is circling around the wheels, okay? So then what happens is, because it's sticky, then the wind will blow plant debris onto it, and it pulls it, it attracts it.
Right.
That's not a normal spider web. Can anybody tell me they want to lie to me and say, no, Noreen, that's a normal spider web you got wrapped around the wheel of your trash can with plant debris. Really? Seriously? Seriously.
First of all, it's not a web. It's a strand. And spiders don't just go around spinning strands.
No. Sometimes they look like webs.
Sometimes, but mostly it's just strand. Like what I saw was just strand. It was a video of the front of this guy's car, and the whole grill and the headlights were just, you know, just these strands were hanging off his car. And it didn't look like a web at all. Sure, sometimes it might look like a web, but you look at a spider web, and it's a perfect spiral on a star of, you know, strands. That's a spider web. So what they're claiming is, I guess, that these are cobwebs, which is old spider webs, and sometimes it's just dust that collects.
Sure.
But, you know, it's all just a big clump of silk and dirt and dust.
Sure.
That's cobwebs. But okay. The thing is, these things are developing overnight. Cobwebs normally are former spider webs that were just old and abandoned.
Right. And this then is not. In this clumps. Is not.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it didn't start off being a spider web. It just came as these clumps and strands hanging off stuff.
Yep.
So that's not a cobweb either.
Well, the reason I called it that is because some parts I described to you, the fence, right, for example. But it doesn't have to be a fence. It could be even a chair, like the leg of a chair even. But let me use a fence as an example. You might know the technical term for this. I don't. But you know when you have like a stone fence? Oh, okay, we have about 5 minutes left in the show. You know, you have like a standard stone fence with the stones kind of sticking out. I don't know what that is called. Then, so that would be, you would have a crevice, right, between the wall and where the other stone kind of juts out. So then there's webbing in between there. But it's chemtrail webbing. It's not spider. Because every other one has it overnight. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. See? So it can be in the form of a web or a strand. It doesn't matter. It's still weird. It's like, oh, my God.
It's probably a little bit tougher than spider web, right?
It's sticky. It's super friggin' sticky.
But, I mean, if you pull it apart, does it pull apart as easy as a cobweb?
You know what? I can't remember because it's been so long since I pulled apart an actual cobweb. You understand? So I'm trying to remember the difference.
Well, cobwebs are, I mean, they're nothing. I mean, as strong as spider webs are, they're so fine that even a clump of cobweb pulls apart very easily, much easier than a cotton ball or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this is, let me try to explain this. It's easy, but not as easy as a cobweb because it's sticky. It's stickier. How's that? So it is a little bit heavier. It's a little bit more dense because it's sticky.
You go. There's another property is it's heavier.
Mm-hmm. Heavier.
Cobwebs are light as feathers.
Yeah, no. But this is weird, though. I've seen it to where it's light and heavy. But generally, it's heavier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely sounds like that nanobot stuff where you breathe it in, and then the particles clump together and form these nanobots inside your body.
Well, here's the problem. Here I am disposing of them. I'm wondering if I already have the problem already. Am I breathing it in even more? I'm thinking, should I just avoid it? I can't, though.
No, and I think once it's clumped up on the ground like that, that's its danger is past. I think even if you touch it with bare skin, it's probably not much you could do. I could be wrong about that. It might be transdermal. But I think the danger is when it's floating down and you breathe it. That's when it, you know, that's when it's effective.
You know what? You might be correct. Neither of us are experts on it, but I'll take your word for it. And I think, but of course you should, I'm just advising the public, still avoid touching it with your bare hands, still, because yeah. You don't know. Okay, but you're probably right. Even though I'm dealing with it every day or whatever, you're probably right. It's probably not as dangerous at this point, but if you breathe it, it is. But you can't control that. You can only control whether you decide to take your gloves and remove it or whatever, you know. But,
and, you know, you have to go outside. You have to do stuff in your yard. You have to touch things. There's just right. No way around that.
No. So. And the thing, the only difference is that I'm wearing these gloves, which ironically, because of COVID, they sell them at the dollar store. You know what I mean? I mean, the packets, right? Like I buy like a whole packet of 50 for like $3, you know? So I'm just saying, because of COVID, ironically, I have somewhat easy access to just buying like, you know, and I use them. So, you know, yeah, for doing the trash, some, but not all yard work. When I water the yard, no, I don't use them. But when I'm picking off the weeds on some of the plants, I do, because I'm noticing, I said, these chemtrails stuff is on the vegetation a little bit. See, that's not good. You know what I mean? And I don't want to touch it. And I'm looking at it going, I'm not touching it. By the way, my parsley, cilantro, and my squash is all that little greenery is starting to bud a little bit now. But you know what? I looked at my that bed where I have the vegetation growing, and there was a chemtrail strand going from the fence down to the soil. I'm thinking I'm going to take a glove and remove it because I don't want chemtrail. Can you imagine? I got chemtrail on my vegetation that I, well, of course, I wash my veggies, but that's not the point. It's, I don't want it even. But you know what? We can't control it. You're right. I can take off the web. But the fact of the matter is that it's coming from the sky and it's landing into the food. You know what? Isn't that weird? People are maybe eating this stuff, right?
Oh, and we're eating it. Are we breathing it, eating it, wearing it, washing in it? It's everywhere. I mean, it's, how can you avoid it? It's,
you know,
it's,
you're right. You guys don't,
permeating the atmosphere.
Don't feel guilty. Yeah, don't feel guilty about this. I know I'm telling people to wear gloves and be cautious, take precautions if you feel you need to. I don't want to make you paranoid because he's correct. You can't really avoid it completely. You cannot.
If your garden isn't very big, you could get a garden mesh and put up like tent pegs and
right.
Put a mesh over it to catch okay. the trails.
Thank you. All right, a mesh. Anyway, there's a music, Nick. Thank you for coming on. This has been Noreen Helpin, Wild at Heart Roundtable Show. It's been great. See you guys next week. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Revolution.